ओम शांति, नमस्ते, आदाब, सत श्री अकाल टू ऑल द गेस्ट प्रेजेंट हियर फॉर द आईटी कॉन्फ्रेंस. आई वेलकम यू ऑल टू पैनल डिस्कशन ऑफ आईटी, पुटिंग आई बिफोर द टी. एंड आई वुड लाइक टू इंट्रोड्यूस द मॉडरेटर फॉर दिस स्पेशल पैनल डिस्कशन, ब्रदर भानु प्रसाद, हु वर्क्स एंड on addressing some of the most complex challenges in India's social and public services space. As a leader at one of India's first open social innovation center at Digital Impact Square, an initiative by TCS Foundation, he coaches early stage startups to create sustainable social impact. In 2016, he was one of 12 Indian leaders to be awarded the prestigious Trevelyan Fellowship by the British government, where he focused his research around public policy practice gap. Brother Bhanu has a degree in general management from Harvard University. He has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 20 years. I invite Brother Bhanu Prasad on the stage to welcome and introduce our panelists. Thank you so much. Om Shanti.
Okay, we are back. Is everyone really back? Great. So, on the stage are some eminent personalities, some of whom you already met. I was just telling Dr. Mohit sometime back that it feels like I am in a kid in a candy store. So there's a lot to take on this panel. There is probably about 150 years worth of experience on this panel, and it is up to us to extract as much as we can. So I'll just take a quick minute to introduce. Already you know Mr. Som Mittal. He has already shared his wisdom. You have met Sister Aruna from yesterday and seen her sessions and talks and the meditation experience. I'll just quickly introduce the other two gentlemen with us today. Dr. Mohit Gupta. Dr. Mohit Gupta currently working as Professor of Cardiology at G.B. Pant Hospital. And he is a cardiologist in the Parliament of India. Dr. Gupta has a distinct achievement of getting more than 18 gold medals and 5 silver medals in his medical career. Dr. Gupta has been nominated as Fellow of American College of Cardiology and the European Society of Cardiology. He has been recipient of the prestigious D.B. Basu Memorial Award for the Young Scientist of the Year Award, Cardiology Society of India. He was recently honored by Dr. Radhakrishnan Distinguished Teacher Award. He was recently awarded the prestigious Agra Ratna Award for Distinguished Medical and Social Services to the Society. Besides, he has conducted extensive research, genetic research on coronary artery disease, and the effect of Raj Yoga meditation. He was recently honored by the Vice President of India and also Ministry of Health and Family Welfare for Excellence in Cardiology 2018. So that's Dr. Mohit Gupta. Hardik Parekh. He is the CEO of Sears, a cloud and analytics-based business transformation company. It's based in Pune. Hardik is a very sharp and visionary entrepreneur. He is very thoughtful, energetic, highly intellectual, intuitive, and thinks out of the box. He is a firm believer of ideate, experiment, improve, and deliver. And also to give a quick background of Hardik. Hardik is also here on stage because he's representing an organization that has done some stellar work in this field of integrating spirituality into a professional setting, especially in IT setting. And today we will get an opportunity to hear how they are implementing the practices of the spirituality and putting that into practice. In fact, Brother Bala, whom you have seen conduct the previous session, has been hired specifically in this organization as the Vice President of Transformation, and transformation not of digital transformation but internal transformation of the organization itself. And so this organization is like a role model for many of us in terms of emulating the best practices in terms of how to integrate spirituality along with technology. So what we have done today is in the panel, we have sort of kept our questions on two fronts, both at the individual level, as a professional, as an individual, and also as an organization. How do you put the I before the T, as our theme is. So I'll start with Mr. Som Mittal. Sir, what we have seen in the last 3 or 4 decades is a rapid evolution of the industry itself. And the industry has evolved at a pace that it's difficult for companies, large and small, to keep pace with. But my question is on the individual. How do you think the individual has transformed in the last 3 decades? What is your observation?
Well, as I mentioned, can you hear me? Yeah. As I mentioned in the morning, the industry didn't exist 30 years back. It was very, very tiny, if you can at all say. These jobs didn't exist. And managers didn't exist. So when you talk about an industry and people, it's not only those who enter, but also those who manage. And hence, there were people like us who came from other industries who never managed software. We became managers and we started growing this business. Now, of course, it's evolved. People are growing. It's been 30 years. So, in fact, it's heartening to see that many who joined this industry are now retiring from this industry, which is actually good to say that we have a huge bandwidth here. And 40 lakh people, right, is not a small number, all of them educated, all of them coming every morning to contribute. So I think there has been. So if you ask me for an evolution of these, I think we mastered is the wrong word, but we now know how to learn, and relearn. This is a constant process. I think the doctors do it all the time, right, because they continued medical education, but here too, the industry spent a lot of time in unlearning what happens in the university, then learning, and then the relearning. So I think that's one very big. I think we realized that we were all individual contributors, and suddenly now we are team players, and we have no choice but to be collaborative. So communication became a very important area. Kaise communicate karna hai, how to influence and be able to say what we want to say. And I think this industry, you know, you have people coming in from every part of the country, and you're dealing with America, and the Americans often ask us, ki, aap kaun si angrezi bolte hain? Is it Bengali, Hindi, English, or it is South English or North English? So I think there was, and hence there was an evolution where people had to neutralize their accents when they communicated. There was a lot of learning that came in. And then, of course, there was certification. Imagine how many of us have given exams after we passed out of college. But in this industry, every 6 months, right, I'm sure in CME you do that as well, you're giving exams, so there's been an evolution. But I think along with that, the pressures of work, if you're doing work in India for somebody 12 hours away in terms of time zone, we have to work at night. There is, when they hand over work in the evening, we start our work and have to hand it back, so there are timelines. There is anxiety of growth, there is stress, the anxiety is increasing. But one area that I really worry about in this evolution is that because there is so fast a pace of material gains, that a lot of us are now saddled with what I would call large EMIs to pay and so on. Uska ek burden aur aa gaya hai. To bada evolution hua hai, bahut pragati ki hai, lekin kuch downsides hain jinko yahan par hum log address kar rahe hain.
Like Mr. Som Mittal has just mentioned, there is this two aspects. One I picked up is, let's take a moment of silence.
Shiv Pita phir se aaya.
One of the points that you mentioned is about the process of unlearning and relearning. I was wondering if Dr. Mohit can put some light on this aspect, because I find it particularly stressful, because the technology and the world around us and then the peer pressure is so much that how do I start to understand what is it that I have to learn, when do I stop relearning, unlearning, how do I handle this turmoil in the mind of continuously keeping up?
Om Shanti. Life is all about priorities. And when our priorities are guided by passion and purpose, we can create magic in our life. So let me ask you only one thing, that how many of us in our childhood were told to be happy? Can you raise your hands? Told to be happy. बताया गया था कि भाई खुश रहना चाहिए लाइफ के अंदर, हाथ उठाएंगे ऐसे करके पूरा? मेनी ऑफ अस प्रोबेबली. एंड हाउ मेनी ऑफ अस वर एक्चुअली टॉट टू बी हैप्पी? वेरी वेरी लेस. दैट्स द बिगेस्ट क्वेश्चन इन टूडेज वर्ल्ड. द प्रॉब्लम इज ओनली वन, दैट वी आर ऑल पाइलिंग अप द फैक्ट्स इन अवर लाइफ, एंड दैट इज कॉल्ड बिकमिंग मोर एंड मोर नॉलेजेबल. एंड अनलर्निंग मीन्स यू बिकम वाइज, दैट इज मोर इम्पोर्टेंट. सो in present day life, it is imperative for us to understand that just don't load your mind with more and more knowledge, but use practical tips to simplify and use those knowledge in your life, which is what is called as wisdom. As Mr. Mittal clearly highlighted, it is very very important for all of us today to take out time, few minutes of mindfulness, to actually see what is the sense and what is the purpose of our existence on this earth. What is the purpose of my life? If I ask this question to my own self, my only answer that comes for my own self is, I want to be happy in my life. If I want to be happy in my life, I don't really need to load myself with so much knowledge, so much energy, that actually I lose and I get disconnected from my own self. So unlearning means taking out time to empower your own self. The theme is that, you know, you have to put yourself before others, you before your actually professional work. When you learn to take care of your own self, when you learn to talk to your own self, when we learn to be compassionate and understanding with our own selves, this is what is true unlearning. This is connecting with your own self. And when we are able to connect with ourselves in a better way, we are able to connect with the whole environment, with our professional work in a much, much better way. That is what I believe.
Thank you, Dr. Mohit. So, if we look at it, this process of connecting to the work and then disconnecting from that work to assess ourselves, how far have I picked up the skills that are needed, and then understand that there is something lacking, and then go back and learn that, and then connect back with work. This process needs to become a daily practice. And something that I have observed is Hardik's company has set up, institutionalized, I would not say set up, institutionalize this process of having a minute of meditation before every meeting. In the organization, when meetings happen, before the meeting starts, there is a minute of silence. Every week, there is 1 hour dedicated to self-transformation. Sessions are conducted focused on self-transformation. And the organization seems to be focused on this, facilitating this process of learning and unlearning. My question to Hardik would be, as a leader, how did you make those decisions that this is the priority, this is need of the hour for your company?
Thank you. I started learning about silence first when I got married, which was around 13 years ago. But the silence is not just about being silent from speaking, right? It's also the silence of mind. And there are a lot of thoughts that keep on coming. And if we want to essentially improve the overall efficiency within each individual, we want to try and ensure that we are focusing on the right things to do, prioritizing, as Dr. Mohit mentioned, and figuring out as to what amount of attention do we want to give to a particular thought that we are getting. And overall, we started our company with the intention of driving improvements. And we used to deliver improvements on processes and leveraging technology and all of that. And that came out quite naturally that we need to focus on improving self first. And improving self became a mandate for improving the efficiencies within any processes, within leveraging technology and things like that. So how do we empower people to and enable them to improve their self? And that's something that kind of became more and more relevant to us. And it started delivering benefits when we started conducting sessions on this topic. We started inviting close to around 50 to 60 people participate into a retreat in Gyan Sarovar every year from our management team. Bala conducts sessions with all of our leadership teams. His full-time focus is to drive self-transformation within individuals. And that has delivered significant benefit. Quite a few people have been able to de-addict themselves from the general vices that the industry has in terms of smoking and quite a few things. And it has benefited quite a bit.
So, a leader's vision and investment in the organization so that the employees of the company are self-empowered and there is a focus on self-transformation, specific investments made so that employees actually get self-transformed. My question is, I'll just ask a question to all the audience. How many of you think there is a professional life where you are constantly learning, and how many of you think there is a personal life? Two lives. Professional life and personal life. Rest of them? Retired. So my question is to Sister Aruna, because this is a common complaint, saying that I'm not able to balance my professional life, personal life, and so on. So I actually wonder, do we, like, when we change our clothes, does our life also change? When we wear our formal dress to go to office? So what exactly is this personal life and professional life, and do we really have two lives?
Om Shanti. So lovely to be on stage with my dear brothers and to hear you and your life experiences. Well, from my experience, there shouldn't be two lives. I think this is why there is the stress, because I feel I have to be something at home and I have to be something at work. And that changeover takes a lot of stress and makes us very tired. And if you're repeating these patterns every day, because it's not just a physical change, it's not just that you're putting on the suit and tie, but it's a mental shift you have to make. So firstly, the answer is no, there are no two lives, there is just one life. And so what life is that? And I think it should be a life that is just filled with values and virtues. In fact, in the beginner's course, this is something that we teach, that we fill our lives with so many tags, so many labels. So I am the head of this, I am the department chief, I'm the father, I'm the son, all these are labels. Even I'm a golfer, I'm an activist, all these are labels that we give to ourselves. But beneath that layer, there is that pure core self, which is I. So the common denominator in all these labels is I. So we have to keep returning back to that pure I. So I'm a pure soul, I'm a peaceful soul. So imagine just taking up the quality of peace. So I'm a peaceful husband, I'm a peaceful father, I'm a peaceful boss, I'm a peaceful friend, peaceful colleague. So when I focus on the virtue or the quality whilst I'm doing whatever I'm doing, then the emphasis is on that. And let me ask you, the teachers that taught you at school, who do you remember the most? Is the ones that gave you that extra attention or that love or exercised some value, right? You probably don't even remember what is their educational achievements. Maybe you don't even properly remember their name, but you just remember the person for what they shared with you. And so I think this is where we've lost the focus. We have to keep going back to integrating values, focusing on the values, and making that our priority than just simply looking good in suit and tie.
Yeah, that's such a deep answer with respect to the values that I hold to myself, sort of transcending the costumes that I wear throughout the day. I could be a parent, I could be an employee, I could come back and be a brother or a sister or a friend, but the value system that I hold sort of transcends what I do. One profession especially that requires these values to be held, and today somehow their profession seems to be under threat because they are constantly being blamed for such difficult problems they address. Dr. Mohit, because just imagine, as a software professional, I understand the value of an error. I could roll back that code, I could make changes to it. But then, as an individual in this profession, how do you handle these values, being true to yourself, handling the most complex situations? It's a matter of life and death.
When I learn to handle myself very properly, I am able to handle every situation very comfortably. That's the bottom line. As sister very rightly said, you know, the problem with all of us today is we must understand that one thing that is functioning right from our childhood is our mind and our heart. And anything that functions continuously, anything that functions continuously, ultimately develops fatigue, it needs maintenance, it needs repair. It is irrespective of whatever the instrument you are talking about, and our mind is no exception. And today, our mind is also giving us repetitive signals. Wo bhi baar baar humko roz signal de raha hai ki please give me some rest. There are only 7 things which we all need to check sitting here today. Only 7 things. First one is, do we throughout the day, in an hour, or sometimes even repetitively in a minute, experience fear, experience irritation, experience competition, experience guilt, hatred, or jealousy? If these are the emotions which we in a day, irrespective of our profession, we are facing repetitively, then probably that is strongly indicative of a tired mind, a mind that needs maintenance. And once being in a medical profession, we have no chances of making error. If we err, it's done. The patient is gone and we are in a big soup. So, I have learned to live in my life that if I am to do best in my profession, I have to balance between 2 things. Only 2 things we need to balance. The first question is, should I be doing this? That's a medical question. And the second question is, can I do this? Can I do this? The medical question, and should I do this is the ethical question. If we are able to balance both of them, my conscience, my work will always be wonderfully correct. So work with vibrations. I can be very, very sweet to most of my patients. You can be very, very sweet to most of your clients. You can give them the best of the presentations. You can talk them to them in the most polite language. But remember, the relationships between two people, irrespective of the profession, whether it is medical profession, whether it is engineering, it is not by the words. It's by the vibrations with which we work. If we work with positive and powerful vibrations, the scope of error is minimized to almost negligible, almost negative. That is the only crux. I have strongly believed in my life and lives of everybody that language is designed to hide feelings. If we all work with positive feelings and positive vibrations, the chances of us going wrong is very, very, very low. You work, you create an atmosphere of positivity, you create an atmosphere of great trust and harmony. You just have to speak one line and the patient is trusting you. He is right there with you. And this is the energy which we are using in our high care, high volume center. Our day starts very early in the morning, 7:30 we start operating, and often up to 9:30 we are operating. We are doing and connecting with the patients even in the very little time with lot of love, lot of compassion, lot of trust and lot of care. Not only for our patients, but also the same love, compassion and trust for our own selves. Taking care of our own selves, loving your own selves. Apne aap ko nuksan pahuncha ke, अपने आप को दर्द में पहुंचा के अगर हम हीलिंग करेंगे वो कभी नहीं हो सकता. यू मस्ट रिमेंबर, इफ मैजिक हैज टू हैपन, वन एनर्जी एटलीस्ट हैज टू बी करेक्ट. व्हेन द पेशेंट इज इन पेन एंड पेशेंट इज नॉट हैविंग एनी पेशेंस, देन इट्स डॉक्टर्स रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी, इट्स अवर रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी टू इनकलकेट द फीलिंग ऑफ लव एंड पॉजिटिव एनर्जी. इफ आई ऑल्सो लिव एंड परफॉर्म इन पेनफुल एनर्जी, देन प्रोबेबली टू पेनफुल एनर्जी cannot create the process of healing. And this holds true for every profession. If you are dealing with a client, you need to be very empowered and very analytical and clear in your, honest in your dealings. If you do this in the right way, probably the chances of us going wrong is very, very less.
This comes from a person who is most likely operating on your heart. Right, so it comes with a lot of experience. I will go back to Dr. Mohit again, because there is a wonderful experience that he has shared. But before that, Mr. Soam Mittal wanted to share something on this topic. Yeah.
No, I think we spoke about life balance, and I fully agree with you, Arunaji Pan, that there's one life, you can't say it's professional, and there is all these technicals here, there is no switch yet made which can say, I'll switch off, now I'm switching from personal life to office life. Now, we work, you do simple arithmetic, we have 10 hours of work, maybe 11 including commuting or more, then you look, take out the sleep time, and look at the number of hours that get left for us, right? They're very few. So you don't even have time to change your mood, so you carry the stress or the joys from work, and you carry to the workplace the anxieties of family as well as. So a lot of us say ki main to bilkul alag karta hu, ghar jata hu to bhul jata hu. Wo I think there are supermen. Kaise kar sakte hain ki bhul jayenge, sare 10 ghante to usi pe dikkat kar rahe the, chalte samay gaadi mein soch rahe the, ghar pahunch gaye. To har ek ka apna alag tarika hota hai, but for many of us we adopted a different, we actually shared everything that was going on with in our life with whom we call life partner. My wife Vidhu is here. She exactly knew what's going on, what are the highs, lows, what's going on. So then I didn't have to worry ki main, I will never surprise her with something. And I think they became support. Similarly, we started doing this with our larger employee families. They would come home, they got to know each other. Sabko samaj mein aaya ki bhai ye ek phase hai, kaam karna pad raha hai, let's tolerate this. But then in the rest of the time that we had, we took our own decisions. आपने गोल्फ की बात करी, 3 किलोमीटर दूर गोल्फ कोर्स था, गोल्फ की किट भी खरीद लाए, जूते भी ले आए, उसके अलग कपड़े होते हैं वो भी ले आए, फिर लगा कि संडे मिलता है एक, उस सुबह से लेकर गोल्फ खेलने जाएंगे तो 6-7 घंटे निकल जाएंगे। तो अभी भी हमारे पड़ोसियों ने यूज किया गोल्फ किट, सबने किया, वो वहीं के वहीं रखा हुआ है। बट आई टुक दैट एंड मेनी पीपल टेक दोज चॉइसेस। सो आई थिंक इट इज डिफिकल्ट, बट इट्स नॉट ऑल दैट डिफिकल्ट। वी कैन फाइंड वॉट इज इम्पॉर्टेंट। आपने प्रायोरिटीज की बात करी थी, so we have to decide what it is, right? And we should, as I said before, never regret it. Hum logon ko shaam ka jitna samay milta hai usme bhi you try. So it's not the number of hours but the quality of time that you are spending. Agar aapne phone pe dekh rahe ho aur haan main jawab de rahe ho fir baad mein bola ja raha hai ki tumne to suna hi nahi, to fir that's not spending quality time. So I think we all have to judge whether we are actually spending and maximizing the quality of time at home.
So, quality time at home and also finding someone who can be that ear for you so that they can listen to you. We have got a very interesting question from the audience. We've had a box here and they dropped the questions in the box. They said, there are people in my team who don't necessarily appreciate what I'm good for. They try to put me down. So, how do I maintain my confidence in that situation? So there are two questions I would like to ask Sister Aruna. How to become that ear for somebody else and how to handle the situations when somebody else is putting you down negatively?
I don't know why I'm getting the difficult question. Well, regarding being an ear for somebody, I think it's just humanitarian to be there for somebody and to just listen, and really to listen. In other words, not to interrupt, not to finish their sentences, and not even to say I understand, because I don't fully understand. Nobody can understand what somebody else is going through. So we have to listen, right? There's two things. There's hearing and there's listening. So hearing is technical, but listening is psychologically where you're fully engaged. So I really have to be present. And just my presence, from my experience of all the people that come to the center, when you're just present, you're calm, you just let them talk and you listen. And just that is soothing enough. It's healing enough because they feel that somebody heard them. And sure, if we have some good advice, we will give it. Otherwise, we'll ask them to just be patient with themselves. So that's my answer to that. Just really be totally present with the person, giving them that time, that energy, and I think that does a lot. And regarding the other question of being put down, see, one of the things that we're developing through meditation is a very deep sense of self-respect. So as I keep emphasizing on the virtues, I did that yesterday and in the evening, we have to keep reminding ourselves who we are. So whether somebody else approves of me or not, likes me or not, thinks I'm good enough or not, it doesn't matter. If I know my self-worth, then it doesn't really matter what somebody else thinks. And also in a team, like, I shouldn't think I have to prove myself to somebody, because I believe time will prove who is right, who is wrong, who's good, who's not, who's a survivor or not. And really, karmically, things will come to you. We even say this in Hindi, right? No one can, koi chin nahi sakta hai, aapka bhagya koi chin nahi sakta hai. So whatever is meant to come to you will come to you. Nobody can take that away from you. So really live in that faith and keep doing the good and keep planting those seeds of goodness and keep being true to yourself. And I think, and I just, maybe since I have the mic, I wanted to just comment on the last point as well, that I think when we walk our talk, when you walk your talk, you actually warrant respect, actually. So respect cannot just be earned like that. When you start actually practicing what you're preaching or what you're trying to tell others, that in itself will build trust, whether it's from the employees or the employer, whatever, from family, and that's also an added boost. Thank you.
Dr. Mohit, go ahead.
I have only one line to say to you. So I have not given this privilege to anybody to make me down and make me angry. Never let this privilege be given to anybody. Never. It's your life. It's your car. It's your way you want to drive it. Why should my car be driven by the emotions and the choices and the behaviors of other people? They are there. Is the one thing, if you remember, that every person whom you meet in your life is like a test paper for you. He's testing the balance and the state of your mind. That's the key. You know, if he gives you extreme level of joy and happiness, again, that's a test paper. How beautifully you are able to maintain the balance in that state. And if he's letting you down, it's even more beautiful and powerful how beautifully again you are leaving yourself empowered. But while maintaining this, always have a feeling of compassion. Always have a feeling of love and care for other people, because your few words and few minutes can heal somebody. You know, when we talk about disease in the medical terms, disease word is made of two words, dis plus ease. When easiness goes away, not only physically, but mentally, we become diseased. And that is why kai bari hum kehte hai na, inse baat karke hamara aadhi bimari dur ho jate. We feel very empowered. This is because giving an ear and giving comfort to somebody takes away the mental agony and pain of that person. And all this, as sister very nicely said, depends on how empowered you are. How beautifully you are taking care of your thoughts. And as we say, keep checking, what am I cooking inside? That's the only key. Every day, every minute, every hour you get time, you just write this phrase in front of you. What am I cooking inside? You have to check your thoughts. Your thoughts create your choices. Your choices create your belief system. Your belief system create your experiences. Your experiences will create your emotions. And those emotions will again fire and create the same thoughts. If you change your thoughts, the whole cycle will automatically change.
We had a hand go up here. I think there is a related question, so we don't want to miss that. If we can quickly capture that question, please. We'll get you a mic. Volume bada hai.
You heard?
Yes.
I just want to ask Mr. Mittal that he said that we cannot have two lives. Okay. So when we are working, we are in that atmosphere, we want to give and focus our work, and we want to give our 100%. In between that, if something is troubling me from my family side, and I'm putting and giving time at that time, will I be able to give my 100% there? Or if I'm at home and I'm thinking of my office work, what is pending, what is left, and my child wants to play with me, or he wants something, or go to the park, whatever it is. If I'm not paying attention to him, and my mind is there, so will I be giving the 100% to my family? What are the ways we can mingle these two things? Please tell us.
Obviously, this is a very difficult question, right? But as I mentioned, and I'm probably oversimplifying it, so I mentioned to you that everything that happened to me, and I'm talking only personal experiences, which was good or bad, my people in the office knew it. So when I was in dire state where my family needed me, they all understood and they raised their levels to step in for me, right? And if they didn't know, then they would have said, ki are ye to sirf ghar ki baat karta rehta hai. There are situations where the only phones I pick up and I tell them, ye ghar se aaya hai, to main lunga. Right? And they understand it. So I think family does get a priority, right? It's another matter. I'm sorry, ma'am, I won't be able to answer ki bachchon ko khelna hai to kya karte hain. But there are times, and I think there was this issue that was also addressed by many other women executives, saying there are demands that ask, you know, you have a nanny at home, but nanny has a problem. She says, I walk out and I take the call from the nanny. So, ye choices to humko leni padengi. Lekin agar sabko pata hai ki aapki paristhiti kya hai ghar ki, koi bimar hai kya hai, sab log help karne ko aate hain. Isi tarah se jaise maine bola, ghar pe bhi agar unko pata hai ki ye paristhiti hai, office mein tension hai, crisis hai, kai kai din aate bhi nahi hai, raat ko hi wahan reh gaye, to unko samajh mein aata hai ki ye ho raha hai. So I think taking people along with you becomes extremely, extremely important.
Hardik, please add.
Thanks. We have a lot of words that we have created, like work-life balance and all of those. I find that those words are flawed because in two ways. One is because work cannot be out of the life. There could be balance between black and white, right and wrong. Opposite things need to be balanced. If we are saying work-life balance, and we are saying that life is without work, work is without life, they are not mutually exclusive. So I feel that when we try and bucket out things into hours and try and balance things, it becomes difficult. But if we try and bucket out things in a way in which you can bucket it into days or weeks, and you can balance things, that would be better. And the balancing is not between work and life, it is between work and family. And I feel that there are priorities wherein, as Som mentioned, there are situations wherein he might have to stay for days in the office, and then there might be days that he might have to stay at home. We are balancing it out and we are giving the right priority to what is needed, but it depends on the intensity of the situation, and the intensity of the situation will determine what requires the priority. I feel that it is difficult, but it is required for us to balance it, not in a day but in a week, in a month, and we can do it, in my opinion.
Sure. So we have a lot of answers for your question. So
I think another important word here is intention. And if my intention is to give the best to my company and I'm giving what I can, then if I have to go away for some time, it will be understood. And likewise, if I'm giving the best of my intention to my family and I have to go to work for some hours in the evening, that will be understood. So I was also thinking the same thoughts as the brother Hardik Bhai, that you can't really divide, because all of it is life. It's all part of life, you know. Yes, earning money is life, so that you can live at home and own the house or rent the house. It's all life. So, but let me give my best to both, and then if I want to, it's a bit like invest, then when I want to pull some time out, I'm able to do that, and nobody should question that.
Yeah, thanks for the questions. Yeah, I also want to focus on another aspect, which is the go ahead quickly. Now we will continue with our questions, and then
Om Shanti. I'm just 21 days with Brahma Kumaris, and I'm here today. And rightly, as what Dr. Mohit said, and someone has put a question, what I've learnt listening to Sister Aruna or Sister Shivani or Brother Suraj in the last 21 days, only listening to their videos, that's what brought me here. We don't have to bother what others think about us. It's important what I think about myself first. That's more important than what's been preached by the Brahma Kumaris. And basically three things. It's the mind, the intellect, and the sanskars. We need to concentrate on our mind, intellect, and the sanskars. And the third, last thing which I say, when you say putting the I before the T, I would say putting, it's not pun intended, I is E-Y-E before the T. If you watch with your eyes carefully, or whether it's a relation between two people, don't bring the third person in. If you have a relation problem, it's between the two. Don't get the third person in. That's what Brahma Kumaris teaches us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your input. So, I was focusing on the other aspect also, which is the organization. In terms of organizations, now we are focused on the individual, but then as an organization, as a leader in the organization, how would you prioritize? So, these are some thoughts I have. And in the audience today, we looked at the registrations that we have received. There are a significant number of HR managers, executives who can make decisions in your organization. So I would like to understand, is there a role for spirituality to play today that is established that can actually lead to better business outcomes? Are investments in spirituality considered to be saying nice to haves? Are you making investments in spiritual practices because there could be better outcomes? Have you established that relationship, or are you doing it with the faith that we have seen from experience that there are benefits? So I would like to ask Hardik this question, because every year Hardik brings 50 members of his team for our retreats, and for the last 4 years he has been doing that. That is a significant amount of investment. As a leader in the organization, why are you making that investment?
Why do we make investments? To earn returns. In terms of, first of all, it's not a cost. It's an investment. And the investment has multiple benefits in terms of the self-improvement that people are focusing on. If their family life is, as we established in the earlier question, if the family life is disturbed, if there is some kind of a relationship issue or health issue going on within the family, will this person be in a position to contribute effectively to the organization in the best possible manner? Not really. And that's something that is a problem that we should invest in. It is a problem that will bring in benefits to the individual in becoming more happier and contributing more effectively. And that is something that has delivered a significant benefit for us over the last several years. And there are tangible benefits in terms of many relationships have been prevented from breaking apart. There are quite a few sessions that our VP of Self-Transformation, Bala, conducts, which have prevented at least several divorces, in my opinion, which have been several divorces, several health issues have been prevented, several people have de-addicted themselves from by increasing their willpower. There is an overall improvement in happiness because of the ability for, so we hire quite a few young people who are from college, and these days because of the instant gratification that we get from various things, people have lost their ability to remain patient. So if they are doing an X thing, they are not happy doing an X thing, they will suddenly give up and start doing Y. And then they would do the Y thing and they would give up and do Z. Improving willpower, trying to remain more patient with yourself in trying to discover whether you are really good at X, because there is always this starting torque of trying to learn to do X. And you might not be happy doing X for a while, but you suddenly become more successful and more happier doing X. And giving that patience and some time to try and learn whether you are really not happy doing it, or is it something that you don't know and this is something that you are doing for the first time and that's why you are not finding happiness in it. So improving happiness has been one of the primary aspects, and we have seen tangible benefits in those areas.
It's interesting bringing, connecting, first of all, that not looking at it as a cost but as an investment. Secondly, that we are able to see tangible business outcomes or benefits, even just looking at it from a happiness perspective, saying if my employees are happy, they are likely to produce more and become more effective. What has happened over the years is that this word spirituality and spiritual practices, ancient wisdom, was sort of viewed with a sense of taboo in organizations. It was not very well accepted, saying that you keep this out of our picture because we are all the science and technology guys. We don't necessarily believe. Of course, ISRO scientists still break a coconut before their rocket launch and things like that. So, but then this is a understanding of spirituality and religion and differentiation. I would like to ask Dr. Mohit about this specific thing, because has time come now that we should start looking at it from a scientific perspective, that there are actually benefits, and research proves that there is benefits for organizations to adopt these practices?
Very interestingly, we work in a government facility, and you see the load is so much that doctors are often stressed, patients are in pain, and this is kind of thing which we face every day. Now you just imagine that, you know, a patient is on the operating table before being sedated, and the doctor who is supposed to operate, he enters in a very negative mood, talking on a phone, on a loud voice, and the patient knows this guy is going to operate me. Relatives know that this guy is going to operate me. He starts shouting, he starts directing people to organize these things. What would be the emotions and the feelings of a patient? कि पता नहीं क्या होगा, कर भी पाएगा या नहीं कर पाएगा, कहीं ऊपर ही ना पहुंचा दे. दिस इज द काइंड ऑफ थिंग्स विच वी फेस एवरी डे इन अवर ऑपरेशन थिएटर्स, एंड द मोर्टैलिटी रेट्स, द आईसीयू इन्फेक्शन रेट्स वर गोइंग हाई. आई टेल यू वॉट वी डिड इन अवर हॉस्पिटल एंड देन आई शेयर अ वेरी स्मॉल पर्सनल एक्सपीरियंस. सो दिस वॉज हैपनिंग इन न्यूरो सर्जरी वेयर यंग चिल्ड्रन, वेरी ओनली 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, किड्स वर बींग ऑपरेटेड फॉर न्यूरोब्लास्टोमास, एंड द रिकवरी वॉज नॉट वेरी वेरी वेल. So they asked me to take a session on happiness for them. So the whole department on a Saturday afternoon, that's the only time they get, I took a session, and I just asked them to do one thing. I said that make your ICU an anger-free zone, a stress-free zone. So a very big department, they said, okay, we'll do it. After listening, they were so empowered, they declared their ICU as a stress-free zone, anger-free zone. They started creating happiness, remaining happy in their interactions. The doctor's relations start improving. The patients started improving very, very fast. The drug requirement lessened, and they used to post pictures of young children immediately post-operatively with a smiling faces, and they said, thank you doctor, we have been able to decrease the ICU infections and increase the output of the department significantly. Now you see what is happening. This is just a small change that you do in your own mindset. This is not a spiritual mindset. It's a mindset that empowers your own self first. This is what we did in our home also. We are 4 people living in a home. And what we did that, before we implement this thing in our hospital, let us do this practice in our home. All 4 of us, 3 doctors and 1 IT person, we declared our home as an anger-free zone. Nobody in our home is supposed to talk in a loud voice, shout at each other, argue on each other. Nobody. You know, I will enter a little late. My sister is here. She will enter at one particular time. And you know, you are obviously sometimes filled with something, and you say, oh, this hua, aisa hua, this guy should not be. And the other person will say, calm down. No problem. Nothing is going to happen. Everything is going on perfect. The energy increases. Your organizational change depends on the environment that you have created in your home. It is absolutely imperative and mandatory that you start this transformation first at your home, in your own thoughts. Compliment each other. Even if other 3 people are not doing it, you do it for yourself. We did it, and magic started happening. The energy increases. And when people are just passing by, they just come inside and say, there's something that pulls me into this home. I just want to learn meditation. There is a lot of energy. The moment we enter here, there's a lot of positivity here. This is the kind of thing that you have to build in. And then you use this energy to heal yourself. I'll share a very small example. In 2002, when I was doing cardiology in my own hospital in Delhi, I started losing weight. I was having fever and I was not keeping very well. And 2003, I remember, 2004 in March 20th, I had massive seizures And you know, it was a very, very scary thing. And they took me to the hospital just to realize that I had a big mass in my brain on the right side. So it was a multi-drug resistant tuberculosis probably. I don't know where did I catch it from. And it ultimately needed surgery. I was put on 18 drugs and injected with most toxic of the injections, because of which I lost my hearing. But I never lost my sense of happiness and sense of being in existence at that time. I continued to study my cardiology. I wrote even book during my pain. And when I cleared my exam during my illness, my examiner, the biggest gift was my examiner said, "Dr. Mohit, we are very happy to say that you have not passed because of the mercy of your internals, but you have passed because of your performance." Then the same year when the operation was done, in 2005, June 20th, all the mass was taken out. But there were two residual masses in my cerebellum, which were inoperable. And you know, and I was asked to continue on drugs. So I thought, ki, I've been meditating for so many years, why not I use my meditative power and my technique on my own self? Let me do it. And one day I just took little water. I went to Baba's room, spiritual room. I used to do meditation. I started focused meditation on myself. I used to keep that water there, a spoon of honey in that, and used to empower that water that this is going to heal me. This is going to dissolve all my masses. I am absolutely a healthy being. I started believing that I am no more a diseased person. I am now a very happy and a healthy person. I did this practice for exactly 1 year. My scans were repeated after 1 year. Both the masses in cerebellum had disappeared. They disappeared absolutely. Absolutely disappeared. And that is why, you know, when I came here to Madhuban, our respected Dadi Janki, she just came down off stage, she hugged me, said, "Tera doctor, doctor wo nahi hai, tera doctor Bhagwan hai." So you must understand that our belief has more power than any of the pill or whatever we are doing in our life. If you believe that you will be fine, if you believe that I can transform my life, your beliefs can create magic in your life. You have the power. Your belief system, what you are trying, again, it's what you are cooking inside. What is the quality of thoughts? What are the ingredients that you are putting into your processor? That will determine the output of your life. You can do anything. Spirituality is a very vague term, you know. Spirituality can create magic. Spirituality can heal not only yourself, but it can heal millions of people, every person with whom you come in contact with. Try using this power. You talk about science, I can give you n number of experiments, innumerable studies that we have carried out in our setup. I always question my anatomy professor, sir, why should I be dissecting this body? Why this body is not functional? There should be a soul. What makes this person a dead person? So we used to answer all these things. And today, I am happy to be a part of this institution, part of this beautiful movement. For last 35 years, the love of God flows in me because I've understood and practiced every principle after a scientific understanding. After using the religious principles and using them scientifically in my own life. That's the key act.
So that's a personal experience of spirituality in daily life, and also how it can impact an individual's life and transform it. And when that confidence and conviction comes, it can lead to an organizational change, a departmental change, and so on. But I would like to ask Mr. Som Mittal again, because this seems to be a bit institutional. As we approach organizations, they still are still struggling to understand spirituality versus religion difference. What are your thoughts?
So I think you have rightly raised this issue, and we should. So what Dr. Mohit did in that ICU, in the operation theater, was he personally, not at the hospital level, but in a personal level, he took one side and he said, "Can we make this anxiety free?" He told them how to do it. So it was an individual. When you get to companies, right, they just like individuals evolve. Pehle to ye tha ki, can I give a good workplace? Can I build teams? Can I ensure that the environment is very good? So everything is a learning. Then they said, can I give them healthy food? Then they said, I think I should care about the health of my people. So they started going back to hospitals and said, can you do clinics for us? So I think that happened. So today many things like yoga and meditation and other things are quite well understood. the problem comes in, and I hope I don't say anything wrong at this forum, right? The word spirituality, I think, has been also not represented well. What is faith? What is religion? What is belief? Where is spirituality? Right? It becomes a no-no in terms of touching. Let's look at the IT industry, right? We don't even ask people where, what their background is. We hire from everywhere. Government of India has been asking us, please tell us how many people came from below the poverty line, people who were, you know, reserved category. We said we don't ask these questions, right? Because it's all the same, right? When I did puja for our new campus, right, we had to, because we had people of all religions, we had four, somebody spoke about ki coconut todte hain, hamare charon the, Hindu ke bhi the, humne ek priest ko bhi bulaya, ek granthi ko bhi bulaya, charon kare, kyunki we didn't want a feeling ki hum log kisi faith ke liye hain. So ye jo ek situation hai is samay, agar main Brahm Kumari और ब्रह्म कुमार जो समाज है उसको देखता हूं, तो आप लोग कोई रिलीजन नहीं कर रहे हो, कुछ यू आर एक्चुअली टेलिंग देम अबाउट हाउ टू इम्प्रूव देयर लाइफ. एंड आई वुड से दैट एट एन इंडिविजुअल लेवल बहुत हो रहा है. अगर आप देखें टीवी का इतना एक्सपेंशन हो गया है कि लोग मेडिटेशन सुनते हैं ना. बहुत सारे लोगों ने यहां, मैंने बाहर बात करी कि आप लोग क्यों आए हैं, तो उन्होंने सुना आप लोगों को, शिवानी जी को सुना टीवी पे, राइट. इसी तरह से चाहे वो आर्ट ऑफ लिविंग हो, चाहे सदगुरु हैं, उनको सुन के अब लोगों को समझ में आने लगा है कि देयर इज समथिंग बियॉन्ड मेटीरियल लाइफ, चाहे वो योगा हो चाहे सोच हो. तो अब आगे अगर बढ़ना है तो कंपनीज के लिए पहले उन्हीं इंडिविजुअल्स के लिए, जैसे आपने किया, आप कन्विंस थे, आपने किया, लेकिन अगर इसको एक बहुत बड़ा ऑर्गेनाइज लेवल पे करेंगे तो आपको इस समय जो वालात है आपको रेजिस्टेंस मिलेगा. तो प्लीज गो स्लोली, कैरी द मैसेज, डू द गुड वर्क, एंड आई थिंक द वर्ड विल स्प्रेड.
In essence, I think what Mr. Som Mittal is also saying is each of us could be the change maker, so that when we go back to our organizations, we start experimenting with like what Dr. Mohit has done or like what Hardik is doing in his company, so that when that message rolls up in your organization, the right managers and those who take decisions are able to see the changes that you are able to bring in your small teams or in a small department or in a small organization itself, and then there will be an organizational change. So start something small, organic, ground, and then take it up to the organization. Thank you. There are some questions that have come from the audience also, and these questions have slightly different flavor. So we would like to get some rapid answers from our expert panel here. I'll start with Hardik. There is a very interesting question that has come, and I don't know how many of you have this on your mind. The question is money important? I am spending my day and night running behind this money. How do I do this? I know it is important, but how do I do this without burden? And will this give me happiness eventually?
I don't think Sister Aruna is getting the most difficult questions now. I think it is important. Money is important. Everything is important that you value in your life, which is required for you to meet your basic needs. But this happiness bit, I believe that happiness cannot, money will not come if you're not happy doing what you're doing. And it is a strong belief that I have. Most successful people in most organizations are the ones who are happy from within. If they are not happy, you will not be able to make money. And you will not be successful because you are not passionate about doing whatever you are doing. So discovering what you are really, really passionate about and doing it on an ongoing basis is most important. And what I also feel that, and this is a question that many of our employees ask as well, especially at the junior level, wherein they start doing certain things that they feel that they have to do, but not that they want to do. And that wanting to do, desire, is something that needs to be cultivated at times in certain things that you might have to do. There are things that I have to do as a founder CEO, like reading legal documents that I didn't used to really enjoy at a certain point in time. And then I started doing it and I started liking it. I am very happy doing legal documents now. And at times it's the mindset of how you think, and that is something that Brahma Kumaris have really been teaching us in multiple ways, and that is something that we need to change to remain happy, first of all. That's my overall response.
Money gives you resources, but mindset change gives you happiness. So that's the essence, sort of. There's another interesting question. So this is a question about, so while we are working, there is a constant, there is a performance, there is delivery, there are others who are observing our performance. At home, there are decisions that you are taking. But there is a tendency to seek approval. There is a tendency to say, if somebody approves, gives a convincing nod, then I am more comfortable. So before I take a decision, I would like to get an opinion from somebody. I would like get somebody's approval. So this taking approval idea, Dr. Mohit, if you can help us understand what is the psychology behind this, and then it puts a self-doubt in the person eventually, saying, you know, what am I doing? Is it right or wrong over a period of time?
Approval-seeking behavior, if it becomes a habit, it becomes a real pain. That shows that our own decisive capability is not there. We are seeking our joy and sense of happiness from others. Whether I am right in this thing, everything if I do, if I seek approval, and approval behavior is often done to just to let other people know that how I am performing. However, there is a other side of approval seeking behavior also. Sometimes approvals are mandatory. They are integral part of our process. In those cases, it is important that approval should be taken from different people. But remember, in matters of conscience, remember this, in matters of conscience, opinion of majority does not matter. If you are doing, 10,000 people are doing wrong thing, it will always remain wrong. And if even one person is doing right thing, it will always remain right. If I try to take approval of something that is not with the ethics, it is against the ethics of the company, and if other people approve me and they say that other people approved, knowing in my heart that this is not what I should be doing, then probably I am just, you know, making a wrong behavior of myself, or I am just cheating my own self. So let us guard and take approvals wherever the process mandates it. But wherever it is needed, it is not needed, we should go ahead with our conviction and with our thought process. This is what my belief system is.
So one of the things that Dr. Mohit mentioned is about conviction and also on matters of conscience. So I would like to ask Sister Aruna, how do we develop this conscience of right or wrong, or my decision at this moment is right? On what do we base that?
Actually, this is this is clearly taught to you in the meditation course, and it's connected with the soul and the faculties of the soul. And in the soul there is mind and intellect and sanskars. Now, conscience is actually related to the intellect. इसलिए हम कहते हैं ना बुद्धि से काम लो, यूज योर इंटेलेक्ट. बट कॉन्शियंस इज मच डीपर देन इंटेलेक्ट. इंटेलेक्ट यू आर स्टिल थिंकिंग एंड प्रोसेसिंग दैट थॉट, फिल्टरिंग दैट थॉट. बट कॉन्शियंस इज विवेक, एंड दिस इज योर इनर वॉइस, एंड वी बिलीव दैट दैट इज आवर प्योरेस्ट वॉइस फ्रॉम इनसाइड. सो दिस वॉइस इज गाइडिंग अस. Right? Naturally. Ye karo, ye nahi karo, ye theek hai, ye theek nahi hai. So we should be listening to that inner voice, but because of different reasons, different sanskars, prejudices, judgments, we avoid listening to that inner voice. So humko pata hai ki ye galat hai, phir bhi hum karte hai, because we want to look good, or we want, as you said, to seek approval. So in meditation, the more I sit in silence, the more I get in touch with that inner voice. Meditation is about going deep, 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 deep inside into the well. There's a well inside of all my resources. And inside, that inner voice is telling me what is right and what is wrong. So silence and meditation.
Silence and meditation as two tools to sort of strengthen your conscience so that over a period of time you start judging, you start trusting the decisions that come based on conscience. There is another question that has come that is very closely related to this. And what we have found is there is a sense of insecurity. As we are doing our work at the workplace, within our colleagues or at home, competition and insecurity. I would like to ask all three of them the same question and get their perspectives, short 30-second, 1-minute answers on why, how do you handle this feeling of insecurity? I'm in middle of competition, I'm middle of doing so many other things, then how do you handle insecurity?
You know, many things that we're talking about, you cannot deny yourself emotions, right? So I was saying, don't feel insecure. It's not. We are human beings, right? We have to go through our journey. I just started my job. I'm not sure I'm doing right or wrong. I will go through it, right? So I will go through these senses of insecurity, etc. The question is, how do I deal with it? So I would say, please never, never try and deny yourself the emotions. Those are your emotions. You can't kill them. Don't suppress them. But find answers to those emotions. And when it comes to insecurity, to coming to security, all of us sitting on the dais right now have years of experience. We have all been through it, right? We have had issues of lack of self-worth, lack of self-confidence, right? And it's only later on that as we went, we picked up that confidence and got over that, right, of that insecurity. So I think it comes in with a little bit of success. It comes in a little bit of our own conviction, and I'm sure meditation and all that does help in terms of insecurity. And I just want to refer to one point which I think we discussed earlier, Dr. Mohit also mentioned. You know, when people approach you, are you listening, hearing, are you responding, are you solving problems, or are you giving them space? But before that, I want to ask, how many of us create an environment where somebody can approach us? Do I feel insecure when I come to speak with you? Ki ye karega kya? मैं इसको बोलूंगा, मुझे डांट देगा, सुनेगा नहीं, भाषण देगा, लेक्चर दे देगा, क्या करेगा मेरे साथ, राइट? बट इफ आई रियली वांट टू ओपन अप, एंड आई स्पोक अर्लियर अबाउट मेंटरशिप, एंड आई विल क्रिएट एन एनवायरनमेंट वेर आई एम शेयरिंग माय इनसिक्योरिटीज, वेर आई एम शेयरिंग माय वल्नरेबिलिटीज, देन द पर्सन सेड, ये भी हमारे जैसे, इन्होंने डील किया है इसके साथ, एंड देन दैट ओपन्स अप. सो आई वुड से दीज इमोशंस आर नेचुरल, राइट? प्लीज डील विद देम. You will find the answers. There are so many tools that have been provided, but don't deny your emotions.
I agree with Mr. Mittal. I think what I'd like to say in terms of representing a spiritual organization is, and the spiritual practice is, prevention is better than cure. So this is what we are advocating. We're not saying you don't have the feelings. We all have all kinds of feelings. But if we begin to work and process those feelings, understand them better so that they don't come up again. In other words, prevent them from the offset rather than you get them and then you have to deal with them. And that comes again from a true sense of self, when I really recognize who I am.
I'm standing between you and your lunch, so I'll just make it very brief in two lines. I have only two messages to give you. And let us all today, together, practice and take these two messages from this forum. Very nice, simple messages. One thing is, in this digitally connected world, and in this world which is very, very technology focused, high tech, let us keep high touch above high tech. The touch in every dealing should be much, much above the technology. Once we have touch for our own selves and touch for every individual with whom we are interacting, these things will come, these emotions will come, and they should come also, because they are the testing phases for your mind. So always value high touch for your own self and your employees. And second thing, jo aaj hum sab exercise yahan se karke jaate hain, ek shabd ko hum yahan par aaj hamesha ke liye छोड़कर जाएंगे. करेंगे सभी लोग? Yes or no, बताइए. आवाज नहीं आती है. जोर से बोलना पड़ेगा. I have a device inside. Okay, that's fine. So we will give off one very nice word. I never let one word associate with me. And that word is, he's a busy cardiologist. Busy is a energy depleter. Jaldi karo is a energy depleter. So let us repeat together one line. Aaj se, from today, I am not busy, but I am busy in my life. Busy word mein hi busy word hai. You are easy inside, you might be busy outside. Your whole quality of life changes once your single programming, single thought inside changes. Change the quality of your thoughts, change the quality of your life. Don't focus on negative emotions, let them come, but your quality of thoughts will destroy negative emotions and will cultivate positive and powerful emotions.
We'll use what Dr. Mohit has said as his closing remarks in the interest of time. Hardik, please.
Sure. I have slightly contrarian view to insecurity. I think we should celebrate insecurity. We should, in a way, celebrate, because it's like insecure. It's inside and we are feeling a little bit insecure because of the feeling that whenever we are feeling insecure, we are generally trying to do something that is beyond our current capacity. So how do we focus on trying to improve our capacity? How do we focus on inner technology to try and improve our capacity to do more so that we start feeling secure to do that? And whenever we start feeling secure to do that, we should try and do even more and become more insecure in some other areas so that we can try and improve our capacity even further. So if we are not being insecure, in a way, we are not trying to expand our potential. So we should try and celebrate that we are feeling insecure about certain things, and that's great, because we would want to feel secure about whatever we are feeling insecure about. Let's try and expand our potential, and let's try and improve our inner engineering, inner technology, to try and focus on being able to feel secure about those things.
So using an emotion like insecurity also as a positive, so that you don't rest in that zone of insecurity, but then you use that as a motivator to move to the next zone of insecurity, and then that way keep progressing. Great. All of them have offered to give additional time. We know we will not be able to do justice to all the questions that have been asked. So they have all offered to spend time with you, find them in the campus, and then please talk to them. If as an organization you want to implement some of these best practices, how do you do it? Hardik is available. Dr. Mohit is available, the kind of change he has brought. Sister Aruna is available in terms of bringing about the spiritual transformation within yourself. And the wise man is here with all these decades of wisdom. He will share his wisdom with respect to how do you lead your life. After looking back after three decades, you can always look back and say what things can be done, how to prioritize things in life, and so on. I would request Sister Aruna to close this session, not with questions now, but with a small session of meditation, so that we can go back and sort of internalize this, reflect, and see how we can implement this back in our lives.
I'd also just like to say one more thing, that in this organization, we do not hire anyone and we do not fire anyone. And what each one brings to the table is really their goodness, which we call seva. And so just appreciating each one for what they bring to the table, to the organization, and celebrating that, that's what makes the organization prosper. So it's really this art of seeing virtue in each one and, you know, giving that more substance, giving that more attention, and not the weakness. So really those are my last comments before meditation. So let's sit comfortably. And we normally practice with open eyes, so just focus on something in front. So I take this time to look at my inner world, my inner world of thoughts and feelings. Let me ask myself, how am I feeling right now? Try and get specific into the feeling, not just good or bad. Maybe you're excited, eager, enthusiastic. Maybe bored. Just get in touch with yourself and how you're feeling. Right now, I want to give special attention to the quality of my thoughts. I'd like you all now to choose one very positive and powerful thought for yourself. Create this thought. An example could be, I can do it. It is possible. Let's use this meditation to sow a seed of a powerful thought for my life. And now believe in that thought. Thirdly, visualize yourself becoming that, like you visualize a seed sprouting. Visualize yourself becoming the thought. Fourthly, you are that thought. You and the thought have become one. So then we are left with I am, simply I am. I am peace, I am power. I am light, I am love. And yesterday I gave all of you a little diamond. This is you. You are that precious, special diamond. Each one of us comes into the world with a gift to offer to the world. So each one is precious. Next time you sit with yourself, just hold that diamond in the palm of your hand as a reminder of how special you are. You are priceless. You are flawless. You are beautiful. You are invaluable. And lastly, we remember God. God the Father, God the Mother, who has brought us all here today and made us into one big happy family. We do not look at the background, at the religion, at the status, your position. We are just all here as souls. let's just take a moment to remember God in whatever shape or form you think of Him. And let's just be grateful for this time that we're spending together.
Thank you again to the wonderful panel. A big round of applause to them, for all of them.